When I was a young teacher, I used to come home from work and there was a program called How. Anybody? Oh, you're all too young. Well, most of you are too young, I suppose. Where they'd ask a question, how do you do that? How does that happen? And science, I suppose, if you boil it all down, is basically asking, you see an effect, a rainbow, say, and you ask, well, how does that come about? How does that happen? Or you say, oh, you've got a greenhouse in the garden and the plants are growing lovely there. And you ask a question, how is it then, if that greenhouse gets the same amount of sunlight as the rest of the garden, why is the stuff thriving in there when it's not out there? So science asks, how does that happen? Science sees an effect. You were here. You were all alive. You were changing all the time, you know, sagging, the hair goes and the gums go. And I said to my grandson the other day, nothing wrong with my teeth, my gums have gone. You know, we've fallen apart. But here we are, we're changing. How is that? How are we here? How did it come about? Now, when I was at school, there were two rival theories about how we got here. In fact, I met a bloke last week, and he's considerably older than me. He can remember a time in school there was only one theory. But by the time I got to the comprehensive school, there were two, and it was a draw game. They were vying for popularity. Neither of them was winning at the time. One was a very, very, very old theory, which basically said we've always been here. Now, we've not static, but more or less, we've always been here. And then the new theory came along to say that there was a sudden beginning. Okay? Now, the chief supporter of the old, old, old theory, we've always been here, was a fellow called Fred Hoyle, Sir Fred Hoyle. And one day on the radio, he didn't like the new theory, one day on the radio, he dismissed the new theory that we've suddenly begun, and he dismissed it with these two-word dismissal, it's a big bang, and the name has stuck. The name has stuck. And by now, old Fred Hoyle and his theory have more or less, well, dwindled and gone away. But the reason why Fred Hoyle was an atheist, and he liked the steady state theory, as he called it, because there was no room for God. We've always been here. Now, he said, you've got these people coming along. They are saying there was a sudden big bang. They're saying there's a beginning. This is much too close to what the Bible says. It's interesting. Today, right, so that was like 60 years ago. Today, when you watch the TV and read the media, they are saying the Big Bang disproves God. But at the time, Fred Hoyle was saying, we don't like the Big Bang, it's too much like creation. Are you with me so far? Hands up if you're here. Good, right, good. So, incidentally, the initial suggestion that for the theory became known as the Big Bang came from a Belgian priest, a man who believed in God. So what's the point of me telling you that little brief history lesson? The thing is, the environment you live in, and if you're a parent or grandparent, your kids or grandchildren live in, is very anti-God. Very anti-God. The media, the BBC, ITV, Channel 4, whatever, are anti-God. And they can dismiss God basically with two words, big bang. They think that's it. They think that dismisses God. Now, the Bible is much more interested in the why question. Why is it that we're here? Why is it that I'm so selfish? Why is it that Jesus came here, lived a perfect life, and yet was crucified? The Bible is much more interested in the why. And you have to think, you see. And all I want to do this morning, and it's a big thing I want to do, is to get you to think, maybe for the first time in your life, to really think. So here's the fact. We're here. Are we here? We're here. Right. How do we get here? There's only three possibilities I can think of. If you can think of others, come and talk to me afterwards. Only three I can think of. Number one, we've always been here. Number two, we just appeared out of nowhere, like a rabbit out of a hat, except there was no hat and no rabbit either. We just appeared. Or three, somebody made us. Those are the only three. We've always been here. We suddenly, spontaneously appeared out of nothing, out of nowhere, or somebody made us. I remember a lady years ago, Susie. She worked in the factory, a conveyor belt. She loved it, but it was a tedious job. all she did, they were packing aspirins. Remember aspirin? In bottles. Remember bottles? Yeah. Before they had the clever anti, you know, childproof tops and so on. And her job, the bottle would come along, it already had the aspirins in it. She had two jobs, and she did it for 8 hours a day, put up. She had to put a dab of cotton wool on top of the aspirin and screw the top on. And the next one, she did it thousands and thousands every day. But one day she asked, what's the point of the dab of cotton wool? Nobody knew, including the manager. Well, it must have happened 20, 40, 50 years ago, but everybody knew this. It hadn't just happened. Somebody had decided, we need a dab blob. What's the proper thing, description of a little bit of cotton wool? Anyway, whatever. We need a little bit of cotton wool there before we screw the top. And somebody decided that. Everybody knew the cotton wool hadn't just appeared. Somebody had ordered a load of cotton wool. Somebody decided, split it off into little blobs, dabs, whatever, and then plonk it in. By the same logic, we are here. How did we get here? It matters. It really does matter. Now, I remember in my first year of juniors, I remember because it was Miss John, and I liked Miss John. And one day, Miss John liked flowers. And we were walking into the classroom, and me and my mate, Nigel, we were pushing and shoving each other, and he pushed me, and I went, and I could see there was this little bookshelf with Miss John had a lovely vase with, she liked flowers, with flowers in. And I could see I was getting close to it, and I managed to stop myself, but I just brushed against it. And as I did, I noticed the vase, almost in slow motion, toppled. And I dived, and I caught it about 6 inches above the ground. I became Miss John's hero, straight away. She liked me ever after, yeah, she liked me. And I caught it. Now then, Miss John was very grateful, thrilled with me, thank you, she said. But then she asked the class a question, how did that happen? Apparently nobody in the class knew. Apparently nobody knew how it happened. And fair play, Miss John, fortunately, didn't pursue it. But Miss John knew full well, it didn't just happen. Somebody caused that. Somebody did something. Well, here we are. Genesis 1 shows us there's a pattern, there's a structure, there's an order. Here we are. How did that happen? The Bible says God had a plan, a purpose. What's the purpose? Well, the purpose was decided by the person who had the plan, the person who made it, Almighty God. Now, if you ask people who reject God, as I did for a long, long, long time, if you ask them why, they will often, I used to say, when people used to say, don't you believe in God, sir, when I was teaching, I used to answer really with two words, big bang. That was my answer, more or less. Now, so there's an order and a structure here, isn't there? Have we ever seen people play the party game Twister? Have you ever seen it? You have a big, like a carpet thing on the floor, and it's got different coloured blobs, isn't it? And random then, random chaotic throws of the dice, and very soon people can't keep up the contortions and they all fall in a heap. That's the point of the game. Apparently it's fun to do it. So where does that leave us? The point is, if you can't play Twister very long before it's chaos, how can we have a world that's ordered? You are amazingly created, aren't you? We're so amazingly complex. How can that be? See, where I was before I became a Christian was saying, there is no plan, there is no creator, therefore there's no purpose, so what I'm going to do is grab as much fun out of this life as I can, as much selfish fun as I can. Then last year, I think it was, the Sky at Night celebrated 60 years, and Professor, I've forgotten her name, came on and said, now we realize, though we can't find it, we believe there's something called dark matter. And although we can't find it, we believe there's something called dark energy. So probably we think there's 95% we don't know. And I thought, so, and these are the best, these are the clever bods. So what they're saying often is, the 5% they know, they only know 5% maybe, and yet they can confidently rule out any notion of God in the 95% they don't know. That's it, isn't it? That's what they're saying. That's perhaps what some of you are saying. So either, here's the facts, either I was made, created, or there's no purpose, no point. I am a result of random collisions of particles that I have no idea what they are. But the thing is, you know, and you've got to make a decision this morning, you know. What do you believe? And you've got to make it today before you leave the building, right? Before you go out through those doors. What do you believe? Are you just a random collection of particles, or did somebody make you? And it's a big decision, because once you realize or admit that somebody made you, you are accountable to the one who made you, because he made you for a purpose. And if you're not fulfilling his purpose, he's going to be angry, isn't he? If he's gone to the trouble of creating you for a purpose, specific purpose, and you say, well, I think you're probably there, but I can't be bothered to find out what the purpose is, he's going to be angry with you. You know, a few years ago, maybe 10 or 15 years ago, a cabinet minister for schools or whatever, came on and said, we're going to stamp out bullying. And then I heard the news on the radio this week, big thing about bullying in schools, no, in Parliament. The very people who say they want to stamp out bullying are bullying themselves. Why? Because there's something wrong with us. Something serious. Can you see there's something wrong with you, though? Can you? I was in a DIY store a couple of years ago, and I saw the name, I don't know how to pronounce it, R-Y-O-B-I. Ryobi, have you seen it? Ryobi. And they make these tools, and there was a hedge trimmer and a power drill and a saw, whatever. And I thought it was amazing, this array of all these tools, and all powered by this one common power battery. And I just thought, nah, this is interesting, isn't it? You take the common sins, you know, lust and greed and cowardice and all those things. They're all powered by the same selfishness, aren't they? Same selfishness powers all our sin. Doesn't it? Have you seen what you are? Let me ask you again. Are you created, or are you a fluke? If you say you're a fluke, why is it that we are as we are? How do we get here then? There was a psychiatrist years ago, not a Christian, on the radio, and he said, every human being has these two desperate desires. Number one, to be loved, and number two, for our lives to have meaning. I thought, well, if it is chaotic, the start, how come we've all got the same desires then? The same two basic desires, which you've got, haven't you? You want people to love you, don't you? And you want your life to count. So you're the fact, you're here. You are extraordinarily complex. Each cell in your body is complicated. Even the nucleus in each cell is so intricate. How did that happen then? Are you created, or are you an accident? And however you answer, there are massive implications. I was just thinking, I was reading a book a while ago, and he was talking about everything is chaotic, everything is just random. So actually the things that go on in my mind, you know, Idris stands here sometimes and tells us all these amazing things, you're fearfully and wonderfully made. But if you reject that and say, no, it's all random, then my thinking is just random collisions. That's all it is, right? And yet I was driving home after prayer meeting on Wednesday, put the radio on, there was a song, I don't know it very well, and I couldn't remember the words, I was trying to sing along with it, and then I kind of did a drum roll as I was singing. Have you ever done a drum roll when why sing a drum roll? I don't know, but I did. I sang a drum roll, but the thing is, as I sang the drum roll, I realized, it was on the song. So even though I didn't know the song very well, somewhere in my head, my brain, although it's only random collisions, obviously, had heard that song and stored the information, there's going to be a drum roll, yeah? Now, how could that? That can't happen if it's all random, can it? It can't if it's just an accident, can it? Why are we in such a mess in our land? There's something wrong. You know, imagine a large comprehensive school, 1,000 pupils, okay? How many have you got, Jeff? No, yeah, that's super massive, right? Okay, so imagine Jeff's school, 1,500, okay? Somebody goes into the school tomorrow. separates the school in half. Okay? Kills half of them. Right? 750. Comes back, following day, kills the other half. And then moves on to another school, and so on. Do you realize that in our land, every day, legally, 520 people are murdered, aborted? In our land, half a comprehensive school, almost, is killed every day, and we don't care. Most of us don't care. How can that be? Because something is wrong. Something big is wrong. And we don't want to think because thinking is tiring. It is tiring, isn't it? It's tiring. You know, my daughter, who was a maths teacher, said, have a look at this sum the other day. And I looked at her answer. I said, I don't understand where you got it from. And she said, you know why? You haven't read the question. I couldn't be bothered to read it. Who wants to read the question? I just want to do the answer. It's too tiring to think. But that's what we like. That's what you were like. We're not thinking enough. What's wrong with... Somebody wrote the other day, remove selfishness and our world would be paradise. Well, let's have a go then. We'll have to remove you and remove me because we are selfish. I have an old mate I used to play rugby with years ago. He's got a massive house. He goes on two or three of these exotic holidays a year. He's got a huge car. Do you know why? He's a funeral director. Business is booming. Why? Because the wages of sin is death. He's never going to be out of business. Why? Why is that? So I come back again. I want you to make a decision today before you leave this building. What are you? A fluke or created? If you're created, you need to realize you're accountable to him. He's going to judge you for, are you fulfilling the purpose for which he made you? Listen to, again, the radio Wednesday night. Driving home and another song came on, Michael Jackson. You know, take a look in the mirror, take a look at yourself and make the change. But we can't do it, can we? The Bible says those who refuse to be changed, they won't let Jesus change them, then they stay on the broad road and it leads to destruction. They live on the broad road, they eat, sleep, go to church on the broad road, and it leads to hell. But the Bible is clear that God has sent his one and only Son, and he can take us off the broad road and put us onto the narrow road that leads to life. And only he can do it. I was just thinking this week, I remember an English lesson when I was in like year 10 probably. What year are you in, girls? 10? Yeah, year 10. I was sitting at the back, but right in the corner, it was a boiling hot summer's day, right in the corner was a particularly obnoxious character, even more obnoxious than me possibly, sitting right there, and he'd stolen a little lens, you know what a lens is, from the physics lab. The sun was streaming, see, and all he was doing was focusing the lens on the back of people's necks. You had people sitting there, they'd been irritated, not sure why, they don't know, you see. And I was just thinking this week, there was a sense in which Almighty God took a big lens, and he focused all the misery of my sin, and you were sin, and they are sin, on his Son. And he died. He killed him. Where are you with all this? Where are you? Are you a fluke? Or were you created? The Bible is clear. God made you. He has a purpose. Eternal purpose for you, and if you are not interested, then he will punish you eternally for ignoring that purpose. You need to make a decision. I'm quite prepared to buttonhole every one of you before you go out the door. I am, because this is important. There's an awful lot riding on this. What you've got to think today, what do I believe and why do I believe it? Amen. Going to sing. Heavenly Father, I thank you for making it so clear, so obvious, that you were there, that you were absolutely amazing, creative, inventive, kind, and loving. And I thank you for Jesus, a real Savior. Lord, forbid it that we would just refuse to think, shrug these things off, and walk out into the darkness again. Please, Lord, have pity. Hear our prayers. Amen.